Grab your Bibles if you have them, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're taking a break this Sunday and next Sunday from our 1 John series to pause and remember this very important week in Christian calendar. Today, of course, Palm Sunday, the day that began the last week of Jesus' life on earth before the cross, and I just felt it would be fitting for us to put 1 John aside for this morning and spend some time the week before Easter, when next week we get to celebrate the resurrection together. Today I wanted us to think about the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have there the words given to the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, written to the churches to remind us of this very important ceremony that we're participating in today, the Lord's Supper. Look with me at these verses. These are so familiar that we have to work at making them new again sometimes. So let me ask you to try to do that as we read, starting in verse 23 of chapter 11. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' Or whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If we're honest, we would have to admit that there is a weakness in our human nature. We sometimes take for granted, without meaning to, we take for granted the blessings of those who have been good to us and who've cared for us in so many different ways over the course of our lives. So many times we forget all the kindnesses and all the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf. And this is often true with children. It was true of all of us as children. We didn't intend to, it wasn't on purpose, but children so often take for granted the sacrifices that their parents make for them as they're growing up. And to one degree or another, we've all been given blessings and gifts that we could never repay. I think of my childhood and my family. I think of the many sacrifices that my parents made for us as we were growing up. Think of all the times that my parents chose to go without something they wanted so that us children could have something we wanted. I think of the weeks and months and years that they spent working tirelessly to pay the bills and take care of the family, constantly providing and caring for and protecting and nurturing and teaching and encouraging. I think of the times they sat up with us all through the night as we were sick with a fever and never complained one time. But if we're honest, I think we'd have to say we took most of it for granted. And that extends well beyond family. We so often take for granted things in many other areas of life. I think about the sacrifices of those who have given everything in order to make our nation's freedom possible. We read in history of Valley Forge and the Alamo and so many of those pivotal moments in our nation's history. But how many of us really remember the blood of the patriots? I think of all those who, over the years, have laid down their lives in World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. It was their blood, their sacrifice that bought our freedom. But we have a tendency to forget them. I think the same is true with the church. The martyrs throughout history who made possible the preaching of the gospel still today, the gospel that has saved us. They laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel, refusing to compromise, refusing to back down. It's their sacrifices along the way that allowed the gospel to even make it to us to change our lives. Just the other day, this past week, in thinking through this message, I went back and read through some places in Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read that book, I dare you to read it. It covers the church history from back in the days of Nero, when that insane maniac was slaughtering and mercilessly torturing and butchering people just because they said, Jesus is Lord, and refused to say Nero or Caesar or Herod is Lord. As I went through that this week, my heart was, it was stirred again at the courage and the commitment of all of those millions of people throughout time who've given their lives for the preaching of the gospel that brought salvation to us. But how often we forget, if we've ever even remembered in the first place. This is true of our nation. We see how our nation is forgetting God. I try to build a little hope in that statement by saying that we're forgetting God, but would it be a more correct statement to say we've already forgotten Him? That's a very frightening pattern to look at. History shows patterns of nations rising to greatness and then soon forgetting the very God who gave them those blessings and that greatness in the first place. In 1897, the British Empire celebrated the Diamond Jubilee of Queen Victoria. And you read the accounts of this, and I'm not sure there was ever such a display in all of history of glory and power and might as the British Empire at its height, at its peak. And surely no one on that day of worldwide celebration, no one would ever have conceived or feared in any way that that great British Empire would ever lose its power. And yet, when you dig into history, you see there was one man who did fear that that very thing would happen. And at the end of that tremendous celebration, like a thunderbolt out of the clear blue sky, Rudyard Kipling sat down with a heavy heart. And he wrote these words. Listen to this. Please listen to this. Nobody writes like this anymore. Listen. God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine, Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget. Lest we forget. The tumults and the shouting dies, the captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, an humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Far called our navies melt away, on dune and headland sinks the fire. Lo, all our pomp of yesterday is one with Nineveh and Tyre. Judge of the nations, spare us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. If drunk with sight of power we loose wild tongues that have not thee in awe, such boastings as the Gentiles use, or lesser breeds without the law, Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. And I think England has forgotten. It's hard to visit England today and believe in the slightest degree that that was one of the most powerful nations on earth, not only politically, but spiritually. England was a powerhouse of the movement of God at one point in history, but now hardly anyone in England remembers God. Hardly anyone is involved in church anymore there. And the same forgetfulness has now consumed America. We've forgotten the gracious hand of God from whom all of our blessings have come. We've been fooled into thinking, as the Bible says, that our hands have gotten us this far. That our intellect and our wisdom and our wealth are responsible for what we've enjoyed in this country. We couldn't be more wrong. We've forgotten God's gracious hand. And so the words of our Lord come to us again this morning. pleading with us to remember his sacrifice. Do this in remembrance of me, lest we forget. But it's important to understand, I think, the reason this sacrifice that he made was necessary in the first place. I don't know how to word this any other way except to say that there is an unchanging, irrevocable law that God has put into place in all of human life. God said in Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sins shall die." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages, the payment, the paycheck for sin is death." This is not something man made up. This is a law that is in place that cannot be changed as surely as the law of gravity exists. The soul that sins shall die. It's true for everyone. I face death because I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of the perfection and the holiness and the glory of God, and I live among a people who are all facing death because we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all facing the inevitable judgment of death. And yet, in the shadow of such dark, gloomy words, I have hope. I know that I will die physically, but I will never die spiritually. I know that I have life, I have assurance that I'm on my way to heaven. How in the world is it possible for someone facing such certain death to be so certain of life eternal? Only one reason. Because somebody paid my debt. Somebody died in my place. Somebody paid the price for my salvation. And that somebody was the Lord Jesus Christ. What a horrible penalty he paid on my behalf. What a cruel death he suffered for me. What a huge debt he took from my ledger and placed onto his. How could I ever forget? And yet I forget. My condition was death, and there was nothing I could do to change that. And so, he left heaven and came down to earth and paid the price for my sins, because you see, there's another law that God has put in place. Not just the law of sin and death, saying the soul that sins must die, but the law of substitution. The law that the blood of the innocent can pay for the sins of the guilty. And I'm thankful for this law. Throughout the whole Old Testament sacrificial system, when a sinner came before God, he had to bring a pure, spotless lamb, an offering before God. And the law of God said that the blood of that innocent animal could be spilled so that the blood of the sinner would not have to be spilled. And as I've told you before many times, we're so quick to complain that life isn't fair. But I want to tell you folks, the most unfair thing in all of history is that the innocent one died in place of the guilty. There's nothing fair about that. It's a horrible thing to think about. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. All of those sacrifices, the millions and millions of sacrifices throughout the centuries that were made, they all pointed to Jesus, who would one day come, who would willingly lay down his spotless, sinless life and become the last sacrifice for sin that would ever be needed. Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The one, the only one, who had done nothing wrong went silently to death, the Bible tells us, like a sheep being led to the slaughter. He did not open his mouth. Think about this. He went silently to the cross for us. Did not open his mouth in his own defense. Did not fight back. Did not try to justify what was going on and prove his innocence. He went silently to the cross. And he allowed sinners to falsely accuse him to spit on him, to rip the beard out of his face, to beat a crown of thorns down into his head, to nail him to a cross. After making such a costly sacrifice, the Lord asks one thing of us. One thing. Like a loving parent, I've never known of devoted parents who demand that their children repay them for all the sacrifices that they made while they were growing up. I've never known one parent who's done that. All they ever ask is that you remember the sacrifices they made for you out of a heart filled with love, and you pass that on to others. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus paid the ultimate price, made the ultimate sacrifice, and there's just one thing he asks of us. Do this in remembrance of me, lest you forget. So this morning, we pause on this week of crucifixion, and we remember. We remember our great sin, and we remember his great sacrifice. We remember our great debt, and we remember the great price he paid on our behalf. And we pause and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that your love left heaven and came to this sin-filled world and sought me out and found me in my mess, in my sin, in my brokenness. And you paid the price to redeem me, to buy me back, forgave my sins, and you adopted me as your child. You brought me into your family. I wonder if you remember this morning. For those of you who are saved, how often do you remember the sacrifice that was made for you? This morning, I call upon you to pause and remember. Maybe there's someone here who's never been saved. You've never taken that step towards him. Oh, you might attend church. You might read the Bible. You might be a good person. But none of those things will make you right with God and get you to heaven when you die. None of them. None of those things will take away your sin. There's only one. It's by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing that you are a sinner, that you have absolutely no way of saving yourself, and you reach out to him by faith and accept the gift of salvation that he's offering to you. You receive him into your life. You become a brand new creation. Have you done that? Young person, adult, have you done that? This morning, I pray, if you haven't, pray that God would be speaking to you right now. I pray that his Holy Spirit would draw you to himself, and you would cry out to him from your heart, and that you would be saved. We're going to come to communion in just a moment. And for all who know Christ, for those of you who have put your faith in him, we invite you to come. There's a table on either side at the front, and you come simply whenever you're ready and partake of communion. What we're doing today, again, I know I'm repeating this, but I really want to drive this home. It's so easy for us to do this while our mind is on something far away and never really think about what we're doing. Folks, do you realize there are brothers and sisters of ours in Christ in many parts of the world this morning who would give anything to be able to do what we're about to do? They're being persecuted. Many of them right now are in prison, being tortured. Some will be put to death this very day for their faith in Christ. Do we realize what a privilege we have to be doing what we're doing this morning? I pray for you, if this is something that has just sort of slipped from you, as it does for all of us now and then, I pray that today God would help all of us realign ourselves with the beauty of what it is we're about to do. Stopping everything in our life to pause and commune with him through this simple ceremony that he left with his followers the night before he was crucified. I pray that all of our hearts will be stirred by the great gift, the great sacrifice that was made for us. I pray that we would never forget. Father, we find ourselves at this place once again where we are about to come to the table and remember the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we realize again our stunning inability to find the right words to adequately convey how much this really means. And so we just come back to those same two words we use over and over again. Thank you. Thank you. Greater love has never been seen than when Christ laid down his life for us. And he simply asks that we remember. We say with Paul, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We thank you for Christ, that he willingly came and took our sin upon himself as though he had committed it. He took all of our sin off of us, placed it on himself, and he took all of his righteousness and placed it onto us. What a remarkable transaction that was. None of us have done anything to earn that or deserve it. It is a free gift of grace and love. So, Father, may our hearts today and forevermore remember and be filled with gratitude. And may anyone here this morning who has never reached out to you by faith and received you as their Lord and their Savior, I pray in this moment they would do so. Pray they would be saved. Thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. Eyes of my heart.